Earplay is made possible by grants from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the National Endowment for the Arts.
A series of contemporary plays for radio. Earplay. This week, Earplay presents the BBC production of Stones by Shirley G. A resident of London, Ms. G is considered one of the most promising new writers for British radio. Stones, which was her first play, was a runner-up in the BBC radio drama competition. She has since received critical acclaim for her second play, Moonshine. Stones by Shirley G.
Minnie Bailey Thompson died at her post September the 15th. Ed Banks, who fell 91, aged 91 service.
Oh, I work here at the moment. It's all human life is the interest. For him to come here every Saturday and read out the football results. Sat there on her husband's grave, fireplace. Are you ready? She used to leave her old man's dinner on a tray. Find it, sitting away on his wife's head. So I thought, oh, must be about it. So I suppose she found it, and to my dinners, never again. I sometimes wonder whether that was good or bad. For her, I mean. Maybe it sort of set her free. I do wonder sometimes. But it's the stones I like best. You're never alone with a stone.
William Dawson, Commander, Royal Navy. Born Duncannon, Ireland, 31st of March, 1831. Went aloft, Genoa, 16th of October, 1911.
Oi, Captain! Art thou sleeping there above?
Baby Maxwell.
Archbishop Sawa, 1898-1961.
Ah, Dad!
In respected memory of Walter Bathurst Long, late of the Inland Revenue.
To the sacred memory of Caroline Baumeister, for 40 years the devoted companion of Dame Adelina Patti, died March the 11th, 1926, aged 81.
To the memory of Arthur C. Ball, December the 23rd, 1894, October the 19th, 1948. We loved you, but God loved you best. Erected by Queenie.
Keeps that plot really nice, Queenie does.
Why didn't you give the oven a good going over, she said. Why didn't you clean the windows? Mrs. Plant, I said, I've got my back. Oh, we've all got backs, she said. I didn't say a word, just turned and walked straight out the door and home. She'll soon come round, you'll see. I wasn't going to be spoken to like that. My husband was a private chauffeur. Very private. My husband had a clean shirt on every day of his life. He married beneath him, actually, when he married me. He was a very good man. He'd give me anything I wanted. He only used to ask it of me once a week. He wasn't a selfish man. We had him in his sister's bungalow when he died. I couldn't have him here because of the stairs. And he looked lovely. His sister kissed him. And when I saw that, I nearly fell through the floor. I couldn't do that. But I did sit in the room for a bit. With the doors open, of course. The room looked lovely, too. He had hundreds of flowers. He was a very well-liked man.
Now, over here, we have the military section, ladies and gents. All grass trimmed with a short back and sides. Cannonballs to the left of you, cannonballs to the right of you. Only these are piled up all shipshape and Bristol fashioned. Not knocking your heads off. Kids climb up there, and they try and lift them off. Play bowls with them. They're mortally heavy, though. There are some grand rolling words on this monument here. Stiffens your sinews, summons up your blood. Words like that.
To the glory of God, and in revered and grateful memory of 2,625 pensioners of the Royal Hospital Chelsea, buried in and around this spot between 1855 and 1893. These veterans, having fought for King, for Queen, for England, and for Empire in almost every part of the world, came home to die in peace, honored and respected by their fellow countrymen.
This officer, he sat me down and he leaned over to me and he said, "Now then, Burroughs, what interests you? What would you like to do?" So I said, "Well, there's a theatre here, sir. I'd like to do that. Entertain the soldiers, put on a few plays. I've done some amateur acting, sir. That's what I'd like to do." He went puce. He went puce. "You will be a radio operator as from now."
Mysore, Egypt, India, Peninsula, Corona, Salamanca, Balaclava, Inkerman, Sebastopol, Persia, Delhi, Lucknow, Flanders, Waterloo.
So they sent me to this place at Chessington, a rehabilitation centre. Wax sparrows of them every day, milk to drink, smashing food. God, it was great. It was like a bloody Hilton. They made me these fiberglass heels. The idea was, if I wore these heels in fiberglass, the arches would be raised, you see. They didn't make a damn bit of difference, of course. But I wore them all day just the same. There were guys there, commandos, who'd had arms shot off in Aden, guys who'd been really blown to pieces in Korea and places. I felt terrible sometimes. I mean, 4 months in there, and me with flat feet.
Erected by the Chelsea commissioners on behalf of an admiring nation as a testimony and tribute to valor, endurance, sufferings, and devotion.
At last, my discharge papers came through. God, I was happy. I had to get them signed by all sorts of people. And the last one was the sergeant. And I was terrified he'd bugger it up. Refused to sign. He hated me. Well, I was so hopeless. And I said, "Sergeant, will you sign these discharge papers for me?" And I was really sweating. And he looked at me and he said, "Son, this is the happiest moment of my life."
Lost a lot, haven't we, in a way? The Empire and all that. When I was a lad, I joined the Scouts, thinking of Empire. Means biscuit tins now, I suppose, but then it was all like in the Eagle, and the Lion roared. I was raging to do good deeds and fancy knots. I joined with my two mates, Jimmy and Ron. We only had the ties, but we were mad keen. Joined October the 8th, highly commended for collecting more donations than anyone in the pack, December the 3rd, and recommended for special badges. Special ceremony for giving of special badges, December the 4th. December the 4th, dismissed from Scouts for sniggering uncontrollably at special ceremony. We couldn't stop laughing. He wouldn't give us our badges either. We used to hang around his house. When he came out wearing his pale knees, we'd yell out, "Hey, what about our prizes then?" But he always looked straight ahead, marching on for King, for Queen, for England, and for Empire, I suppose. He never did get them, kids.
They asked me this, they asked me that. They asked me the colour of the Union Jack. Red, white, or blue. Which one suits you?
Thomas John Riley, who was accidentally killed the 27th of November, aged 8 years, ever in our thoughts.
Treasured memories of our dear son Terry. Terence Henry Michael Dakin died 5th of June, 1964, aged 7. God took him back, we know not why. But someday, in the by and by, beyond the veil of tears and pain, our angel child we'll find again.
To the sweet memory of Mary Shaw Woolley, buried in grave number 375926BR. Resting.
Our little Jackie, the sunshine of our home, not gone, but only fast asleep.
Tubby, Roderick Matthews, died October the 16th, 1949, aged 8.5 years.
The rain is my bitterest enemy. Well, not my total bitter enemy.
because we take it in turns. I operate the clouds, actually. I have a transistor in my head and a ventilator. And you know what? You see, I live in a volcano. I have a chemistry set, and my father has a chemistry set. And sometimes we make these tremendous explosions together inside the volcano. I can't stay on Earth long, because the magic of the transistor will run out. I eat sparks and fireworks. Sometimes I eat water with actually fire in it. So the water all bubbles and explodes, all in my mouth. My mouth looks little, doesn't it? Well, it's huge, actually. It's not right round my head or going round the back or going over the edge or anything, but just massive when I open it. Little closed and massive open, you see? You have realized, haven't you, Mum, that I'm the son of the sun god, and my father is tremendously powerful. You can see us in the sky any time when it's a good day, or even a rainbow sort of day. I've turned myself down to warm now so as not to frizzle you to pieces. My skin is like asbestos and my hair is all golden. You'd better put your dark glasses on. I might dazzle you to bits.
He went to a funeral just for the ride, just for the ride, just for the ride. He went to a funeral just for the ride, just for the ride.
Stay, traveler, this brief memorial cries, and read the moral with attendant eyes. Hast thou a lion's heart, a giant's strength? Exult not, for these gifts must yield at length. Do health and symmetry adorn thy frame? These mouldering bones below possess the same. This monument was erected by the donations of several noblemen and gentlemen to record their admiration of one whom excellence of heart and uncorrupted worth endeared to all who knew him.
To the memory of Anthony Ludlam, died the 19th of April, 1850, aged 44 years. He was a kind friend, and his loss is deplored by many. He was a liberal supporter of Sunday schools, and one of the originators of ragged schools.
Yeah, I'll tell you another originator of ragged schools, my secondary mod. Raggy our school, more like. Sweaters for goalposts. Hit, if you asked a question. Sir, please, sir, is it true that boiling water freezes faster than cold? Shut up. Crack. The edge of the ruler on the knuckles. Ooh. Kissing carrier heap on the radiators in the cloakroom. Hidden by damp coats. You'll get piles. Sure as Christmas, Carrie said. Extra metalwork. Extra cooking. While the bright ones chanted the kings of England and dissected worms and learned about the weald. I dare say it's better now.
Ooh! Ah! I lost my bra! I wonder where my knickers are!
I don't expect it is.
In everlasting memory of the Chevalier Frederick Hafner, Director of Continental Journeys to the late King Edward VII, when Prince of Wales, Denmark, now Lady of Inception, Merit of Sir Michael of Bavaria, etc. His jubilee in 1897, mission decoration, died at 4th of October 9th. All
that look. The Chevalier had been due black plumes, and withra, etc. Name at all?
But all these stones, so, and I put these beautiful flowers so he'll be all covered with the grass, says the canopy. Dear field mouse, I'm going to sing a sad and lovely prayer. Look, his tail is pointing straight up, pointing to heaven. Yeah, like a periscope. What shall I sing for prayer? Snowy flakes are softly falling, or if I wish. How about chitty chitty bang bang?
She went to heaven and slipped up, she flies, slipped up, she flies, slipped up, she flies. Oh, she went to heaven and slipped up, she flies, slipped up, she flies.
In memory of Joseph Julius Cann, for nearly 40 years one of Her Majesty's most devoted servants, this stone was erected by the Queen and the Prince of Wales to mark their appreciation of his long and valuable service.
Sacred to the memory of Her Highness Princess Alexandra Lobanov-Rostovsky.
Our mum.
There's lots like that, of course. Our dad. Our mum.
My father was a hatter. That was a trade, so that was better.
And there were lots of huts around then. I mean, huts were worn, you know. Hutting was in its heyday. Ah, he was a good man, my father. When I left school, when I was 13, I went to the jam factory to work. And when the slump came, he took me into hutting for a while, and he said to me, if you make any overtime now, you keep it for yourself. I used to link him to the bus to work. He was a sweet man. I like our teacher, Mr. Cairncross. He was a nutty demon. He used to favour the ones that were living in his row, and God knows we were all poor. He was no better than what we were, but he used to make you feel it, do you know what I mean? He'd go all out to humiliate you. And young as I was, I understood. And I swore that when I left school, I'd never acknowledge him in the street again, and I never did. He'd hit you for nothing, so great blisters come up on you. At Christmas time, he'd get us all together and throw us nuts, and we'd scramble for them like animals, scrabbling, fighting over a few rotten nuts and raisins. Humiliation again, you see. I wouldn't do it. Tell you what we'd do in the winter. We'd go to oil every week. And eating. There was a lot of ponds round there, and in the winter we'd slide and skate. Oh, not iron skates, you know. But we'd manage. And cross-country hide-and-seek over the fields. A group of us, boys and girls. Oh, we had some grand times. There were six of us children in the family. Joe was alive then, of course. And my mum and dad. And we had a two up, two down. So turn and turn about, we'd go next door to my grandma's to sleep. Poor as we were, and we were poor, we always ate well. My mother must have spent all the money that come into the house on food. Great bowls of buttermilk there'd be, and currant loaves, and all fresh baking. I reckon that's why I'm like I am now, you know. Strong. I'll see you lot out.
Also in loving memory of Annie Green, aged 40 years, Frederick David Green, aged 13 years, Louisa Ann Green, aged 10 years, Florence Emily Green, aged 7 years, Beatrice Gertrude Green, aged 1 year and 6 months. All of whom perished in the foundering of the steamship Teuton on the night of August the 30th, 1889, off Huncliffe, near Simon's Bay, South Africa. The beloved wife and children of David Green, Jr., who by God's mercy was saved to mourn their loss.
God's mercy. Yes, well, God turns up here a lot, of course. I wouldn't quite dare say I don't believe, just in case of a thunderbolt or something. And there's no doubt it brings comfort to many a grieving soul and all like that. Still, let's just say it's not for me. I've known the odd villainous vicar in my time. There's one here, though. I always enjoy a good read of him.
Erected by his sorrowing flock in loving remembrance of the Reverend Thomas Alexander, M.A., who was born May the 20th, 1817, ordained August the 2nd, 1850, and summoned suddenly to his rest on February the 6th, 1872. He began his evangelistic labors among the poor of Edinburgh in 1847, and as pastor of the Presbyterian Church in Chelsea and Belgravia, preached Christ with singular faithfulness and power for 21 years. A good soldier of Jesus Christ, with a noble and unselfish nature, a keen and vigorous intellect, a resolute will, much quaint and genial humor, a ready pen, ever active in defense and diffusion of the truth, and a large, tender, loving heart that shared the joys and sorrows of the least of his flock and embraced in its sympathies the whole brotherhood of Christ.
Now, if I'd have been a member of his sorrowing flock, I might have got the hang of the whole thing. As it is, an old man in a nighty, or the personification of light and truth, neither quite suits me.
God's married, actually. Yes, to Victoria. Not our Victoria, my friend Victoria, but the other Victoria. Queen Victoria. They weigh 5,000 tons together. And if they was to come crashing down on our house to teach us a lesson, wow! Actually, They're very kind. Just if they did. They float about the sky. They're mostly on these clouds all over the place. And they sit in huge marble and alabaster chairs, like armchairs. Only not with cushions. An alabaster cushion wouldn't work. It's the gravity that keeps them up. I'm God's absolutely bestest friend. When he and Victoria go floating away from space, they sometimes feel the lack of my company. But I keep in touch. God's got these really great ears, you see. They're really great. He can hear me from anywhere. From Venus, even. He can even hear an ant trotting about. He has a rubber band thing round his head, and metal wires and batteries coming out of it to help him hear it all. He wears all white clothes and leather boots and a gold helmet like a Viking helmet over his wires. And he can eat anything. Even things that say, do not touch, and poison, keep out of reach of children. He keeps a walking stick at home in heaven for when he gets really old to help him walk. He's pretty old now. Quite a few billion years, as a matter of fact. But he doesn't need his walking stick yet. He can just stand for 1,000 years at the moment and not worry about his ankles. I worry sometimes. Do you? Right now, I'm worrying that I've been here long enough. I want to go home. I don't like it here anymore.
Scare some of them, place like this.
Life is real, life is earnest, and the grave is not its goal. Dust thou art, to dust returnest, was not spoken of the soul.
I'm going to do the rounds now. It's like the parks here, really. Favorite spot for winos and dopers and flashers and lovers. Especially lovers. Double bed size, some of these slabs, you see. I suppose it's tempting. Half a mile from end to end. Good for the old calf muscles.
Fanny Elizabeth, for 40 years the darling wife of Hayden H. Levy, whom the angels called for on November 28, 1916, aged 64 years. The night dew that falls, though in silence it weeps, shall brighten with verdure the grave where she sleeps. And the tear that we shed, though in silence it rolls, shall long keep her memory green in our souls.
That's more like it. Gently does it.
In loving memory of my dear wife, Constance Baker, who died the 28th of August, 1929, an ideal wife and mother, aptly termed for services during the Great War, mother of the wounded. Also of John Baker, husband of the above, who died October the 2nd, 1930, broken-hearted, interred in grave number 182160.
Gets me, that one.
Auntie, my book is closed. My duty done.
I dare say we've all got an auntie like that. Hands neatly folded, book closed, duty done. I've got a massed band of aunties myself. The formidable lot they are when they're all together, sussing out the opposition at engagement parties and that kind of thing. When I was a lad, I used to have to go round to visit some of my aunties. Now then, help me put the carpet down in the front room and then take this custard round to Auntie Peggy. And mind you ask how Auntie Cora's legs are. Don't spill it now. Auntie Peggy scratched away at all her wedding photographs of the evenings, and now there's no trace of Uncle William who ran away to Bolton with the other woman. Just a happy bunch of relatives and friends in fine hats and a pale sort of ectoplasm cloud next to the bride. And a white patch on her sleeve where his hand linked to her arm. I'd go by bike for speed, but the custard used to slop about. And there'd be eggs to bring back, as well as all the news. They'd all be round the table, waiting. Auntie Cora, Auntie Peg, Auntie Marjorie, and Auntie May. Marjorie and May were like Laurel and Hardy. The stout would flow. Auntie Marjorie, majestic and palatic drunk, leaning sideways like the Titanic going down. And Auntie May, a hopeless little lifeboat, twittering round the edge of her, white as a candle herself. Then Peg would tell the cards. "There's a cloud over Cora," she'd say. "It's her legs, I expect. They're bad, poor soul. Well, what can you expect? She's never been off them."
In ever sweetest loving memory of Coney, for 24 years the devotedly attached wife of Andrea Count Metaxa, who became so weary of life and fainted away in this vale of tears on March the 5th, 1896, aged 48 years.
In loving memory of dear mother, Caroline.
Craig's mother locks him out every day. She sometimes takes him shopping or to the park, holding his hand, talking to him. But for most of the day, she locks him out, and has done since they came here. Craig was 3 then. He's 5 now. She's pale and pretty. He's a dark, handsome, stoic child. He ambles up and down the street, squats in the builder's sand and rubble, peers through letterboxes, makes a camp among the old mattresses and broken chairs at the front. He's well-dressed. He runs across the road without a glance. Various uncles come to collect him at night, and sometimes his mother with her pale, pretty voice.
Is Craigie here?
Is Craigie here? Is Craigie here? Is Craigie here?
I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me shall never die.
A tombstone fell on him, and squish, squash, she died. Squish, squash, she died. Squish, squash, she died. A tombstone fell on him, and squish, squash, she died. Squish, squash, she died.
God made a wonderful mother, as dear as a mother could be. And I just want to say that I'm happy he gave that dear mother to me.
I don't know. I feel things closing in on me. Everyone's always talking to me about babies. Bloody babies. I suppose I'm excited in a sort of way, wondering what it'll be like. I love it when it moves inside me. But then when it kicks too much, I think it has 6 legs. And when it doesn't kick at all, I think it's dead. I saw a child the other day at the swings. And I'm sure it was sweet and everything, but it was hideous. With little bunches of scruff for hair. And I found myself praying. And I never pray anymore. Please, Lord, I'll try harder. And please, let me have a child that I like the look of most of the time. I dreamed I'd had it the other night. And it had long black legs. And long yellow arms. And was wearing a dinner jacket and smoking a cigar. And I cried out, this isn't what I wanted.
Here. Come and have a deck out this, now. The Vault of Lord Forbes.
The Vault of Lord Forbes. Castle Forbes. Aberdeenshire.
Fantastic. Lions, eagles, struggles, triumphs, vine leaves, laurel wreaths, angels with dirty great wings outspread, swords and flaming torches. You can house a couple of homeless families in there. Grandma, the budgie and all.
In Uddersfield, I stayed with May and Andre. She called it Andre. She was about 50, and he was a Polish DP, I suppose about 28 or so. He was a miner. He used to make artificial flowers in the evenings. Really delicate, lovely things. Although I don't much care for them usually, do you? He tried to teach me sometimes, but I wasn't much good at it. They lived in a cellar, The house was condemned, you see, and May seemed to think it was safer in the cellar. And anyway, she liked to sit down there and watch people's feet go by. It's a very good staring window, she said. The mess was incredible. Coal, empty bottles, piles of old clothes, a blanket on the table, and just spoons. No knives or forks. Andre used to cook us borscht sometimes, which was fine for spoons. They rigged up blankets round the mattress where I slept. May snored a lot, and Andre had nightmares, so it was hard to sleep sometimes. The electricity had been cut off years ago, but over in one corner was a brand new television set, and that part of the cellar was kept spotless. The only bit she bothered with. She dusted it every day and put lots of Andre's artificial flowers all around it. It was a shrine, really.
Here's one of my favourites. You get favourites, like Minnie Bailey Thompson, who died at her post. And the favourites. You get favourites, like Minnie Bailey Thompson, who died at her post. And the commander up aloft, and Baby Maxwell, who's painted in wavering white on two bits of black wood knocked together. It's all skew-whiff. I never like to straighten it somehow. I suppose it's part of the sadness of Baby Maxwell that he or she should be all slanty. And then there's this one here.
Louisa, the dear little wife of Charles W. Glassington, died July the 25th, 1904, aged 24 years. She well played many parts on the stage in the cause of charity. Off the stage, her best parts were Daughter, Louisa, Pops.
She's lost the tip of her nose, poor Louisa. Just weather. Noses and fingers is very vulnerable in alabaster. Lovely word. Alabaster. Alabaster. When there's not much doing, I sometimes sit here. It's always nice and dry here, under here, because of that tree, you see. Good. I ponder my alum words. Epiglottis, full, voluminous. Just how to use in that.
You pass by, once was old. So much for death and
spook, but true. I stayed a ghost as you place to find a spook. You're one of those old lads.
Old?
If you say my name. In a green port. Good morning, I'd say to me, with never a word. I didn't take much account of it. Then one night, I was taken ill. I felt really rough. I went to the lab and I sat there. And suddenly, I got a cold shiver. Not the kind of green, pale cold of feeling sick, you know, but something else. I turned my head, and there was a little chap in the green pork pie, sitting next to me. Quite properly dressed, if you follow me, but sitting next to me. All neat and silent. I was out there like a bat out of hell, and the rest of the night was awful. I hardly dared go down to breakfast, but I forced myself. My insides had settled by then, and this time, I didn't see him on the stairs. I never saw him again. Not once. It must have been days later I finally got up the courage to ask the landlady, who was the quiet little chap in the pork pie hat that used to scuttle up the stairs? And she froze. Oh, that's Mr. Fribbins. But you couldn't have seen him. He's been gone these 2 years. What do you mean gone? Gone, she said. Did away with himself, poor soul, on the top floor. Gassed himself. I've repapered and everything, she said. So you've no call to be upset or to upset others. However could you have seen him? I didn't tell her. I haven't told anyone till now. Daft, isn't it? Do you ever wonder how you'll go? What is it? With a bang or a whimper? Might be a car crash. Or drop dead on the 18th hole. Or slide away in sleep. Or this. Or in this kind of line. Or cannibals round a cooking pot. Or, of course, in war. Here, my granddad was in the Home Guard. That was real Dad's army stuff. He used to go on exercise, Tom and his troop, on the bit of wild common just past the end of our backyard. These poor old fellows creeping about in the wet grass like rusty old alligators. and our dog would find my granddad and go wild with delight and show him to the enemy, jumping about and barking. He, the dog, not granddad, used to bite the ankles of the sergeant, who was our postman, and they'd be held to pay. No wonder he only got made Lance Corporal. My granddad had a good bicycle, gears and all, so he had to be a moving target. He'd come roaring across the common, his legs going like the clappers, and all line up and shoot at him as he hurtled by. They were training him to be a wireless operator, so he spent hours huddled over a Morse code tablet, and I learned along with him. It was his job to alert everybody in his platoon when there was an exercise on, because of his bike. Sometimes a wife would stick her head out the window and yell down, "He's not coming till he's had his dinner." Oh, we had some laughs out of Lance Corporal Grandad. Wasn't all laughs, though.
Yankee General went to town in his mini miner. Set on to an action bomb and landed up in China.
That wasn't our song. That's more now. Ours was things like, "Hitler has only got one ball. Goring has two but very small. Himmler has something similar. And poor old Goebbels has no balls at all." That's it. And coming in on a wing and a prayer. And Vera Lynn. And Variety Bandbox. And this is the news. And this is Alpha Liddell.
Henry Hughes Honeywood Hallett.
Connie.
Ah, Grant.
Darling little.
Miss Fanny Elizabeth.
Ah, Dad.
Marie-Françoise Louise Clotilde Marcel Dubourg.
34307 Guardsman S. Sampson, Grenadier Guards, 27th of August, 1918, aged 18.
1414791, Flight Sergeant D.J. Mayhew, Air Bomber, Royal Air Force, 5th of May, 1944, aged 22. Also his brother, Anthony, killed on active service with the Merchant Navy, the 20th of May, 1941, aged 15.
537872, Musician C. Hart, Coldstream Guards, 13th of April, 1943, aged 44 years.
2695287, Lance Corporal Piper R. McLean Beaton, Scots Guards, 21st of June, 1942.
1440283, Private W.S. Hamilton, the Royal Norfolk Regiment, 7th of November, 1943, aged 34.
530241, Boy, C.S. Gutteridge, Grenadier Guards, 13th of January, 1918, aged 15. Hilda Mary Dowden.
Robert de Mountjoy Ruddle. Al Mum. Wilma Hesk.
Ethel Lillian, only daughter of...
Mum and Dad. Amy Lowe.
My dear wife, Nellie Hardy, aged 59, friend Isabella Agnes Dunn, aged 23rd of February, 1918.
Well, of course, it's a child. Arms for wild grasses were waist-high. Hardly tell you, it's a poppy and Michaelmas day, and forget it knows how many different... The Leon stick ball, but it was a wolf of marvellous all moves and broken gems.
A loving husband lies sleeping here, his wife and friends left to weep sincere. In peace he lived, in peace he died. His life was craved, but was denied. Affliction sore, long time he bore. Physicians were in vain. Until God above, out of his love, has freed him from his pain. My dear husband now enjoys a heavenly birth. He is not lost, but gone before.
Don't ask me why, but that stone always puts me in mind of Mrs. Haddock. Mrs. Haddock had this sweet shop, you see, and one day I went in for a bar of chalk and a quarter or something, and her husband was poorly, lying upstairs in the back bedroom, really sick. And we got talking, you know, as you do, about people that used to live in our street and moved away, and I passed to Wardle. And she went, "Don't mention that woman to me," she said. "Why?" I said, "Whatever's the matter?" "Him up there," she said. "Him and her. 10 years ago. when I took the children to my sister's in Dagenham. Him and her, the dirty swine. She's getting redder and redder, shaking hundreds of toffees out of the jar and them spilling out of the scales. I'm sorry, Mrs. Addock, I said. I had no idea. Truly I had. Sorry, now I'm grateful. And she smiled. Opportunity knocked me while I got upstairs and fit. She stamped up the stick black and blue. The poor devil, all ill as he went down again. Oh, that's all devil.
He went to Calabrese, it's all right. He went to Antarctica.
And really? Picnics? You couldn't call that handles. Now that I do deplore. Here, this guy, blow me, took his rest last week. Ankles all the eagles have, that bird. You'll be in the melting pot now, I dare say.
Red is the danger, red is the danger, so out goes you. Red is the danger, red is the danger, red is the danger, so out goes you.
£3,000 it would have cost if I'd gone privately, so of course I wouldn't have gone at all. I was there for 8 hours. But they don't do it all in one go, you know. They do it in shifts. 3 hours to open me up and get in there. Then the bright boy comes to actually fit the stuff in. It's a new fabric, rather like what they use on non-stick saucepans. And they put a tiny patch of it inside the heart and a little gusset of it in the valve. It's supposed to be everlasting. Let's hope so. Then some comings and goings with the heart machine and another 3 hours to bundle it all back again. They have a minute and a fag. They're put to death, literally, all your blood recirculated, having a quick cigarette. And they have music. I was furious when I heard. But then they said it was classical music, so I felt a little better. They break the breastbone to get in, which makes life a bit sore afterwards, and you lie there in this great state of déshabillé, shaved from neck to knee, which looks disgusting. The funny thing is, I'm so physical. After 40 years of quiet, I am bringing into things on the table and break them at home. It's like being absolute into people in the street. I dare, but he wasn't interesting. I don't know my own strength theory. Nurses were superb. And the third to be. There were 8 of them prepared. But my doctor asked him how long he'd... Oh, as long as... Now, what the hell was that? So bloody bland.
Francis Mary Skeestofson entered into relation July the 11th, 1900. Jesus you mercy.
Someone silly threw a truncheon into a crowd, and they thought it was me. And they all started shouting at me. And this man jumped into a sort of ditch with water and a mill wheel, like a farm water mill wheel. And he went along this ditch passage and took a huge wheelbarrow and filled it with all the angry words the crowds were shouting. And the different letters of the words were fizzing about in the wheelbarrow. And at the end of the ditch, there was God's mouth. And the man tipped all the angry letters into God's mouth. And God ate the letters. And then told them what to do to me. And then I woke up.
Dreams now. Daydreams are something that keeps me going in the long winter afternoons. November, December, January, February. We close at 4, of course. You still need a thought or two to see you through till tea time. I have a couple of what I like to call great imponderables that I like to muse on occasionally. Which is worse, to be blind or deaf? That's one. And which would I rather not have, constipation or diarrhea? Would I rather find myself alone in the Sahara or the North Pole? I changed that one round a bit today, and instead of myself, I put my mother-in-law, with whom we had to live for a few months during a rather dodgy patch in my married life. Smack in the middle of the Arctic Circle, alone, fingers cracking off, breath turning to icicles. If you sneeze, I've read, your snot freezes in a great white arc, like a white rainbow, maybe. I can hear her now, pretentious old cow, breakfast. She'd start straight in at breakfast. Just a kid's late today, Wilfred. Just affection on retard. We haven't waited on you, dear, not knowing, you see, having no orders to the contrary. Had you said, mother-in-law, I should be a mite late on account of taking up the bathroom to the detriment of others for what might perhaps seem more than my share. But there, it's only in the way you've been brought up, and we'll say more. I'm in the gallop, leave the old goat blue in a summer cotton, dot in the distance, snap another limb off, crack like a piece of Kit Kat off the bar. Old Jack Frost snicker-snack with his vorpal blade whenever the fancy took him. Lovely. I left her head till last, so she could go on rabbiting at me in her finickety way, right to the end. That way's more fair. She couldn't escape. Stuck in my daydream. Grand. Right, well, that's enough of that. Now, let me take you down this avenue here. It's a sort of four-star avenue. I'll show you.
Sacred to grave, CMG 68, died. Careless in danger, a true friend and unfailing single-minded devotion for 50 years in the East.
Intrepidity, Alexander John Warnford, born, accidentally killed in 1850. Erected by readers of to commemorate a Zeppelin airship near Gaunt on June the 7th, 1915.
When my dad was a young man, he could throw a stone as far as any mortal man. He could kill a hare at 80 yards, could my dad. And he was the finest runner in this village, or all the villages round. You go to any pub round here and they'll tell you about my dad. His running was legendary. And prizes. I don't suppose there's a married couple in our village who ain't started off with a tea set or wine glasses or some such for my dad's prizes. He were a postman like me. He used to walk it then, of course, day and night. 8 hours a day shift, 4 hours a night. Though when the weather was rough, he took longer. Not lights then, of course. Often no roads and fields with bulls in and that kind of thing. He walked, in his working lifetime, 250,000 miles. A quarter of a million, that is. And got a medal from the king and an armchair and his name in the Postmaster General's book. We all find it there, his name. He should by rights be in the Guinness Book of Records. I read only the other day about some Belgian chap, I think it was, or French maybe, had walked a quarter of a million miles and they were putting him in the Guinness Book of Records. But there, my dad did it a long time ago. Was very good, the post. I knew who my father was. They took me on when he retired. Oh, I was in, boy, no trouble.
Nearly closing time. Oh, quick look at Poetry Corner.
A light is from our household gone. A voice we loved is stilled. A place is vacant in our home, which never can be filled.
Kind was her heart in friendship true and sound. Patient in grief, beloved by all around. Her grief now o'er, her pain forever done. A life of endless joy, we hope, she's now begun.
Here lies our darling son, the eldest child of four. His parents loved him very much, but Jesus loved him more.
She suffered much, but murmured not. We watched her day by day with aching heart grow less and less until she passed away.
I round up the stragglers on my bike now. Got to go right up to the other end, ringing my bell. Hurrying them along. Brisk if they're just wandering through. And tactful if their mourners come to put some flowers. Oh, there's just these last stones by the gates here.
To the memory of dear little Arthur, the darling child of Robert and Isabella Mitchell, died the 13th of May, 1889, aged 14 months. Is it well with the child? And she answered, it is well. Also, the sweet little lamb, Isabella, gathered into the fold March the 15th, age...
Sarah Ann Stickings, 1952, age...
Third, died in 1833, age 23 years, birthday.
In loving memory, child of James and Rosina, born, died... The 16th, 1864, 1867, born January the 15th, died June, James, 68, died June the 28th. 1868. Stella Elizabeth, born September the 13th, 1865, died February the 24th, 1868. Mercy Angeline, born April the 3rd, 1869, died September the 2nd, 1870. Of such is the kingdom of heaven.
All out!
Can I go up, Mum? I shall be a super blast of James Bond man with equipment and an injector seat. Or an Olympic champion with muscles. Or most probably, yes, most probably, I shall be an archaeologist. Something like that. I shall marry Jemima, or maybe Caroline. It's one of the juniors. And you can come and stay with us by helicopter. It's when we died, Mum. You know, I hands walk on there up to the moon, this and the moon. We look those our bodies and make tiny atoms. But we won't die for 1,000,000,101 years, will we? Not until the sun explodes.
All out!
Who wants to play? Who wants to play? All against the wall now, Robinson Crusoe!
All out!
In the depredation, my operation, how many people? The one that can numb it. Two.
Bones by Shirley G. Included in the cast, Rolf Lefevre, Sam Kidd, Donald G., Maddie Head, Pauline Peter Williams, Jack Carr, and Kate Coleridge. The children were played by Angelo, Jan Hanning, Ian Sherritt, and Francis Tusa. The play by the BT, and presented by Earplay, the Radio Drama Production Center for Public Broadcasting.
Earplay is made possible by grants from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the National Endowment for the Arts. This is NPR, National Public Radio.